Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey, BA fam, we are 5 years into making this podcast that we love so much called Brown Ambition, and we could not do it without you. We've gone from me and Tiffany sneaking around my old office building, trying to find places to record. And thanks to you guys, we now have 100,000 downloads per month for this little show called Brown Ambition. We would love to ask y'all for a small favor as fans of the show. Tiffany, what are we looking for?
Here's what we'd love from you guys. We already have over 1,000 reviews and a 5-star rating on iTunes. But you know what's better than 1,000 reviews? 2,000 reviews. If you could head on over to iTunes, go to our Brown Ambition page, scroll on down to the bottom, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star rating and a review. So subscribe, rate, review. Not too much to ask, right?
Easy peasy. We love you guys. And thank you so much for making Brown Ambition what it is. The last 5 years have been amazing, and it's all thanks to you.
Hey, 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 we're back, we're black, we're Brown Ambition. Shout out to Mandy's mama. I saw the video sent me. I love it.
Listen, you can't be calling me out like that. She doesn't know that I think it's like a criminal offense to take a video screen recording of your Marco Polos and send them to people, but sometimes I do it.
I'm like, what's a Marco Polo?
Oh, Marco Polo is the best and worst app in my life right now. So Marco Polo, for people who like Snapchat, but it's too complicated, but they want to communicate with their relatives and family and friends in a really easy way. And also you hate FaceTime because you're kind of trapped on the phone with someone for a while. Marco Polo is you can just send people video messages back and forth, kind of like Marco. Ooh. And then you're on the other side of the pool and you yell Polo.
Oh, Polo. Yeah. Okay. I love it.
And it's really fun. And I recommend it for anyone who's, because my sister's in Wisconsin. My mom is in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm obviously in New York. And it's been really difficult not being, especially the first year of, you know, Rio's life, not having his auntie or his grandma around that much. So Marco Polo was what kind of helps them feel like literally, if I don't send them a message every hour of the day, at least a little snapshot, then I have phone calls like, are you okay? What's going on? Are you having a bad day? It's a good app ultimately. But so anyway, my mom had sent me, she does listen to the show and now she's proving it because this is why I can't talk smack about her anymore on the show. She was like, she started one of her messages with, hey, hey, hey. Oh no, that's the Tiffany thing. It's like, yeah, mom.
I love it.
She quotes. You can use
it,
mom.
I got it from Fat Albert, so it technically doesn't belong to me.
Right? I mean, but he's not a real person, so. Or is he? Is that a character? Whatever, I know.
Yes. Or like D from What's Happening. I'm aging myself. There used to be this show. It's not D. It was the guy. There's a show called What's Happening, and there was a guy, I forget his name, but he used to say, hey, I think his name was Dwayne, hey, hey, hey. And so, like, when I was really little, I remember it coming on, so that's where I got it from.
Well, now you've just ruined, everyone thought that Tiffany, wow, she is clever. She came up with this whole catchphrase. Oh, well, now we know. 5 years in, the cat's out of the bag. I
know. So, this is not so good news, but I was just asking you earlier, had you heard about Cece, the six-figure chick?
I had not heard of her until this week, actually.
Yeah. So she is one of the, she was, because she passed away on August 14th, 2020. Not just a few days ago. She, one of the OGs in the digital marketing, digital sales game as a Black woman. Cece almost any Black woman who is selling anything online will tell you that, you know, they have gotten a direct or indirect help from Cece. Hmm. She, you know, was just nothing short of amazing. She used to do this thing where she would show her gross sales every week or month. She would show you how much she was making, how she really broke down. How do you sell a good product, or really hers were services, but with integrity? There's so many. I used to just go to her page and just soak up and be like, I never thought about it that way. She literally had she would post things like how to make money selling classes online. And if you want to make this amount of money, here's how you'd break that down. She was so transparent and open and just gave so much value. I had never seen someone give that much value in that space before. Hmm. And she was specifically for Black and brown women. And so she just will be sorely missed. But, you know, Cece had cancer. I think she was in remission, but she had been, she had cancer and beat it, I think, 3 times over the last, 10 years.
Man.
Or last 5 years, I think. But what she passed away from was pneumonia. I'm not sure, where it stemmed from. I don't believe it stemmed from COVID or anything like that. But what was so telling about her, the type of person that she was, is that literally the day before, Cece had posted a resource. And this is a woman who was at the time in the hospital. And it just goes to show you that her real passion, true passion, was being of service to women like her who wanted to seek ways to make money with integrity and helping other women. And so I just wanted to send Cece a faraway hug and thank you for all that you've done for us in this space. But also, too, it was a wake-up call. Honestly, all the Black and women, brown women that I know that are that started their own business and who sell things online and things, we're all just kind of it just is kind of a wake-up call to, are you doing what you want to do, how you want to do it? Because clearly Cece was. Mm-hmm. And it just was a reminder to realign. Our rich journey, I don't know. I remember it shook me to the core. I've been watching them. I saw they just bought a house in Portugal. Shout out to you, Amon and Christina. And so that was another episode, or people who just had me look at my life and say, I want to realign. And Cece was one of those people too. But yeah, I've just been thinking a lot about realignment, realignment, realignment. And so that definitely shook me to the core. So yeah, I just wanted to shout her out.
Well, thank you. And sending lots of love to her family. And I think if you see any Black or brown woman in a position where they are successful today, I mean, we can't get here without thinking about the trailblazers before us. And there are, you know, this is a space, personal finance space and advice. I don't know when Cece got into the space, but it's an old enough space now. I think the online revolution and the creation of personal financial help and education and services online really boomed after the, Great Recession. And, it's been over 10 years now, and there's people who have been rocking with it since the beginning and really paving the way. And it feels like Cece was one of those pioneers.
Absolutely. And you can still follow her because her stuff is just still, I just feel like even her legacy is the surface she left behind for us. Instagram, right? It's _the6figure chick_. So I would certainly go in because, like I said, she was posting from her hospital bed resources like, you can do it, here's how you can. So to me, it just speaks volumes about what she wanted to leave behind for us. And she really did. Like I said, she was the most transparent businesswoman I'd ever seen. You knew exactly how much she made, how she made it, in which way. Yeah, Cece was amazing.
I love it. All right. _6figure chick on Instagram.
The six figure chick. Mm-hmm. _the6figure chick_.
Magically, I'm sure a link will appear in our show notes because we have mentioned it here. Kelly, hello, Kelly. Yes. Yay. Oh, man. Well, Ken, I'm really glad that we took some time to pay tribute to Cece. Can we talk a little bit about what's happening in these streets to these postal boxes right now?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the post office, I'm trying to catch up, but it seems so there's a lot happening. Obviously, he who must not be named, our commander and whatever, whining apparently. So and this is just me, Mandy, just what I've been reading through the lines as I've been trying to read and not read and not watch the news for my own mental health. But it seems like he's scurred, y'all. The polls are not looking hot. He has really effed up the whole response to this pandemic right now, and the election is, what, 80 days away? Maybe like a little bit less than 80 days away. Kamala being named to as a nominee, as the why can't I find words? As a vice presidential nominee alongside Biden on the ticket for 2020, I think that has Republicans shooketh because it's become very apparent that they don't exactly know how to attack her because there's a lot of things. There's just not very much there. There's not meat on the bone like there was for Hillary when you could really just tap into people's loathing of the Clintons and all that. Anyway, so Trump seems to be coming for not just the right to vote, but the ability to vote by mail. And the way that he's doing that is like he has appointed some guy to the Postal Service who is now pulling, like, defunding in some ways some of the crucial services. And the Postal Service is struggling, like, financially because people are not using the services so much in the time of COVID. But then it seems like all this has, like, kicked up in the last week and all over social. And I personally haven't looked to see if these images are, like, have been corroborated, and I probably should have. And I like y'all, have just been seeing them on Twitter, people sharing them on Insta and all that, of like actual mailboxes being put on the back of trucks and then carted away. So the message, and this is what's really terrifying, is the message is getting out there that it's going to be hard to vote by mail this election. And I kind of wanted to just talk about that and talk about some facts around what you can do and how you can, as much as you can, try to be sure that your vote counts this year, because I'm worried that people are gonna, like, these images, they're terrifying, and we need to be doing things to support the post office. Like, one of the most simple things you can do is go online and buy a roll of stamps, buy the forever stamps. In fact, I think that they're about to increase the price. So it's not a bad time to get a roll of forever stamps anyway, because, you know, you buy it at the current price and then you have those stamps forever. You don't have to, you know, buy additional stamps if the price goes up. But let's like, what's your perception, Ben Tiff? Like, what have you seen, and you know, what are your thoughts on everything going on?
No, it's honestly really scary. I think I saw a quote by our forever president, Barack Obama, and he was like, never have we seen an actual president say, I am going to be shutting down basically the post office so you can't vote against me. Like, that's, he's basically has said that. Like, I don't want you to vote. I don't want you to vote me out. How is this allowed? I'm not going to lie. There's just, you know, it's just like too much. You're just like, how is this allowed? How are you allowed to openly try to cheat and steal the election with impunity? You know,
Well, it's only allowed if our elected officials allow it to happen. I mean, that, and it's like, but the thing is, I mean, there have been, even before Trump, I mean, the party in power, and I'm not going to say Democrats are without their faults as well and probably have participated in, you know, different strategies that make it more difficult to people who oppose them to get out there to vote. But the current voting system truly favors people who tend to vote, you know, Republican. I mean, you think about Black voters, Latino voters, immigrant voters. I mean, there are whole vehicles in motion meant to suppress their ability and their right to vote, and it's happening now. I mean, and I, you know, y'all know I'm from Georgia, and I talk about Stacey Abrams a lot and what she has done since she quote unquote lost the gubernatorial race in Georgia a couple years ago. You know, there, and she has been fighting to raise awareness about, you know, suppression of voter rights in Georgia, but it's not just Georgia, it's all over. And, you know, I just want people to understand. So the fear here, and this is what Trump is kind of like trying to get away with saying, oh, if people vote by mail, there's going to be a lot of fraud. So we have to prevent people from voting by mail because there's going to be fraud. Just this very scary kind of like buzzword that his base just loves, voter fraud, which has no basis in fact, like many things that he has said, but whatever. The thing is, like, he's trying, like, absentee voting is mail-in voting. Like, people have been doing it for a long, there's whole states where everyone votes by mail. This is not like a new concept, but he's making it kind of seem like it's this foreign way of voting and, oh my goodness, it's just not reliable and all that. But here's what you guys can do. And I really want, like tell a friend to tell a friend, because I feel like you never really know where people are coming from or what they're reading, where they're getting their news, and, you know, what perceptions they may have. But there are many states where you can actually vote early. So if you are, you know, at this point, I know family of mine in Georgia is even just like doesn't trust the post office. Like they're worried if they put their vote in the mail, you know, it'll get lost. But they're also worried that they're going to stand in line at a polling place and catch COVID and potentially die because, you know, who's COVID killing at a higher rate? Black Americans. So it's like a catch 22. They feel insecure about their vote counting if they vote by mail, but they also are worried about risking their health by showing up to the polls. So if you are determined to vote in person, see if you can vote early in your state. I was just checking New York. We can definitely vote early, so I'm figuring out how to do that. And this happened to me. I talked about, like, the primary this summer. If you guys were caught in, like, hours-long lines like I was in my county because voter turnout was high and they had closed so many polling places because there's such low numbers of volunteers for polls because of the COVID situation. There were really long lines during the primary, and I actually had to step out of line because we didn't have childcare. So I went home, and Enrique had to go out, and he voted that night, but I didn't. And I was like, there's no way in hell this is happening to me during the presidential election. So we're going to try to go out and vote early. That's one way to make sure your vote counts and that you're kind of limiting your risk by trying to avoid those crowds. See and request. The thing is, like, mail-in voting, like, if the government were to say, yes, let's make mail-in voting available for every American, we're going to send everyone a ballot, that would be the ideal solution, right? But right now, that's not what's happening because Trump and his cronies are really trying hard to not let that happen. That being said, you can still request an absentee ballot. And I don't know exactly what the reasons you have to put on the absentee ballot, like what you can select to say why you have to vote absentee, but it's worth a try. And that's another way to, you know, mail in your vote and have it counted, because absentee ballots, they are counted. Not as quickly, but they do get counted. I just hate the idea of people being, I mean, I know it could be so much easier, but it pisses me off that he could possibly be discouraging people from getting out there and voting. And this is not the time to sit down. Like, we need everybody. We need everybody. And I don't just want him to lose. Like, I want him to be obliterated. Like, we need to send a message. I feel desperate in this. And I haven't even been, like, you know, I assume a lot of our listeners, you know, aren't really Trump supporters. I mean, I'm just going to make an educated guess. Maybe that's true. But I don't want to make anyone feel, you know, uncomfortable about their political leanings. But I know lots of Republicans who don't support this guy. Like, I mean, what he stands for are not values. I mean, they're conservative, but they're not. What I don't think people can get away with this time around is you had a lot of Republicans last election saying, and I'll shut up with this in a minute. I know I've been talking a lot. Sorry. A lot of Republicans say, you know, oh well, I don't believe in his, you know, his social policies or his, you know, his obviously, you know, racist and xenophobic beliefs. But, you know, I'm a Republican and I believe in smaller government and less taxes. And I just got to vote for this guy. Like, I think at this point, you can't, like, maybe in 2016, maybe you could say that, you know, you can get away with saying, well, he won't do what all he says about these social issues. He's just going to go in and push, you know, toward a more conservative fiscal policy and all that, but he has shown you who he is now. So when you cast your vote for him, it's going to show us who you are, and it's really going to, it's just going to be unacceptable. I just don't know how anyone could, you know, cast a vote for him. And I think it'll be even more devastating than it was in 2016 if he wins. And I'm truly scared that that's what will happen if people, you know, aren't out there voting. And Tiffany, you may now tell me to be quiet, but like
that. No, I think it's that, I mean, it's just that important. I mean, there's no, I don't know, because before, I know people voted because it was like, what's the worst that can happen? We are literally living in the worst that could happen. Not even the worst, but meaning that
we couldn't imagine how bad it could be. Now it's that bad.
Yeah.
Beyond our worst imagination.
Even I was like, oh no, I was like, wow. To have someone so ill-equipped to manage during literal crisis and to have people die as a result, I just we have to get out there and vote. I mean, there's just no other.
And we're all tired, you know, right? We're tired, yeah, mentally, we have to physically get out there and vote. Exhausted. There's a lot to be cynical about.
There is.
Especially if you're a black body in this country. I know.
Exactly.
Like, we know. But please show up. Please show up. And vote early. Bring a friend with you. Tell everyone if you can vote early in your state. Let everyone know that you can. You know, we need facts to win. We definitely, definitely, definitely do. Also, fill out your U.S. Census. Okay, this completes your U.S. government, AP U.S. government class.
You know, the census taker came to my house this weekend.
Did they really? So we didn't get one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised. I was like, you guys are coming out? So, I mean, they had their masks on, and I just, like, answered them at the door. Wow. I mean, I answered, like, but I was surprised because I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, they're ending the census early for no good reason, but they're doing it a little bit earlier than planned. I think the end of September now, September 30th, it was supposed to go through October. Wow. Let's talk about the census, though, because the census is, it's only done every 10 years, and it is how governments decide, like, who is in different districts, like, what's the racial makeup, demographics. This all feeds into policy. So the legislation that's happening, the rules that are being implemented that you don't agree with, like, part of that happens because of the census, and it's incredibly important. So important that, like, Cardi B even did an ad for New York, like a viral ad for New York to fill out, New Yorkers to fill out the census. But you got to do it, and they're giving you even less time than usual. Of course, why? Because people in power, it doesn't behoove them if brown and black people show up in the census. And there's all kinds of really terrible, like, misinformation out there being shared on social media, like, if you fill out a census and you're an illegal immigrant, that you can be deported and things like that, which is not true. It's another way that, you know, people are trying to suppress the vote of, or sorry, suppress the voice of black and brown Americans, and we've got to get out there. Please fill out your census. You can do it online. Just Google census. You can do it online. You don't have to wait for someone to knock on your door.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can do it online. And also, I mean, they've been mailing like the census paper.
I think we got the paper. Yeah, I think we got the paper too.
Yeah, they mail, like, they have gotten it so many times. So there's just so many ways. Make yourself be counted.
Let's put a link. We'll put a link in our show notes. Y'all Good. Can say that, you know, okay, we'll made it a little bit easier for y'all, but I'm sure that, and I'll also find a good resource for you to find out if you can vote early. But I don't think it's too early to be starting. Look, they already got pumpkin spice things on the shelves, y'all. Like, we can be talking about November election. Let's do it.
Exactly. This is something that's totally random, but have you seen, like, there's this, is it New York Times? I don't know if it's New York Times, but I just saw something where it was like, there's a growing phenomenon in marriage called living apart together, or a LAT, which I'm like, oh, that is so millennial. LAT.
What?
Where couples choose not to live together even after marriage, given the chance to do this. Would you be married living separately with your partner? I'm like, wow. I never heard of LAT before, but I mean, I've definitely heard of, not necessarily married people, but people like a Stedman and an Oprah or Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, like folks who are like in long-term, like, you know, partnerships, that they have their own houses and things like that, but they're not married. But then, you know, they live together.
Right?
Yeah, but, well, I don't know. I think Oprah and Stedman.
Maybe Stedman probably has his own wing of the estate.
Right? But isn't that like, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it's weird because I know, but I guess it's kind of like, is this the new separate bedrooms or separate beds? You know, like in the 60s or whatever, they should show like couples' bedrooms and they would have like separate beds. I wonder if this is the new separate beds or separate bedrooms.
What's the benefit?
Yeah, I guess it's like... No,
is this financial?
Kind of
a, is it a tax thing?
No, I think the benefit is you can only get on my nerves but so much. But I'm like, but that's part of marriage. I think, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Like, someone's like, what's the point in that? Exactly. Like, isn't that the point of, why not just have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Or girlfriend.
Why get married? Like, you don't have to do that. Marriage is a
choice.
You
really don't. So I just thought that was like really interesting. Like,
LAT. L-A-T.
I would love to hear from y'all. Maybe hashtag us, like, so tag me, the Budgetista, Mandy with an I, Money, and Brown Ambition Podcast on Insta, and let us know. What do you think about, and then let us know what you think about LAT. So hashtag LAT. You know, could you consider living apart while you're together.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would just love to have a backup house that they could just, like, there's a little bridge that connects them. There was some celebrity couple that had two houses connected by a bridge. And, like, he lived in one house and she lived in the other. Sometimes that would be nice, but I still like my husband enough to, like, want to live with him. I guess that's good.
That's the only way. To me, like, I feel like I could do that if I was, like, not liking my husband and I'm old. I could see, like, you know, being like 70 years old, like, yeah, he gets on my nerves, but ain't nobody getting divorced at 70. That, I could see that. Or, which I have seen happen, especially for immigrant families, it's like, he goes to such and such country first to make a way for us. Like, that I can see, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's no judgment. I'm just curious, like, some of y'all youngins, would you be open to lat living? So, yeah.
Lat living. All right. Well, we're definitely interested in y'all's responses to that. If you're still, you know, in love with your spouse 5 months into quarantine, then God bless you. And we're doing it, y'all. Like, we haven't killed our spouses yet. Enrique still lives. I know. It's kind of crazy. 5 months into this thing, it's nuts. I will say, homeboy, Rio started to crawl last week, y'all. And I, like really crawl. And I always knew he was going to be very good at it as soon as he, you know, he really wants to walk. He's not down with this whole crawling life. He would prefer if he could walk like a grown adult. But he'll deal with crawling because it's a good way to get into Molly's dog dishes. But it's next level. Quarantining with working from home with a crawler, I have to say, I'm not sure if I don't know how much longer I can do this, but so far so good. And shout out to y'all again for hanging in there.
Oh,
well, let's take a quick break after your lessons in civics and be right back.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
All right, we are back.
It's time for questions. My favorite part.
Yeah, well, before we get into y'all's questions, again, you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com. You can send us a question there by clicking on Ask Us Anything or hit us up directly on DM on Instagram. We're at Brown Ambition Podcast on Insta or email us brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me dig through my reader bag. All right, before we get into your questions, I really want to, sometimes you guys send us just really thoughtful messages, and they mean so much to me and Tiffany when we get them. So I wanted to share one that we got from someone who wants to remain anonymous. She's someone who recently saw Tiffany on Queer Eye, and she's in a same-sex relationship, and she had this to say. I saw Tiffany on Queer Eye, and my wife said, wait, what did she say? Rewind it. Ever since then, I have been listening to y'all's podcast, and we signed up for the Live Richer Academy. My wife used to literally stay awake at night thinking about money moves. The podcast and the Live Richer Academy have been a blessing. I am Black, and my wife is white. We face discrimination at work in various forms due to our quote-unquote lifestyle. These challenges have led us to seek other career paths. We decided to focus on what makes us happy as a couple and as moms, feeling fulfilled and at peace. We have to say that this podcast and its messages have been a welcome relief to us. I don't have Black friends and have been longing to have positive Black voices in my ear. Our son, who is our world, is also Caucasian. I am outnumbered at home and at work. We tick so many boxes in diversity that we are very isolated. Our goal is to move to France because we feel comfortable and welcome there as a lesbian interracial couple. We are all taking French classes and moving towards those goals daily. We loved the Our Rich Journey episode. The grace and serenity they have is something to aspire to obtain. Not to give my entire life story, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you both.
Oh,
that's really sweet.
Sending you loves and hugs, you know? You know, it's not easy being quote unquote other, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, Mandy and I do this podcast because Mandy, you represent other in different ways and I represent other in different ways. And
but we're not even all the others. There's so many others, you know,
I know that's and that's why I think I was telling somebody, I think I was in, we're going to talk about the Elevate conference later on, but in our break, but I helped to do the opening of this conference called Elevate, which seeks to give voice to other in the personal finance space. Like, so LGBTQ, I think I'm saying it right. I'm sorry if I'm not. But also Black and Brown and Asian and you know, because they're just, even despite all the movement that's been made in this space, largely the voice of, you know, what's heard in the personal finance space is white and male.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that is one perspective. It's not invalid, but it's not the only perspective. And neither is mine. I don't speak for all Black or Brown women, and nor should I. I just think that there's so much room and necessity for so many different voices. And I'm just so happy to see that that's happening and that you found us and yay. And yes, Our Rich Journey is also a great resource. I've been like you said, the grace and serenity, child. Me and Mandy have been swirling ever since.
Yeah. They have such a, you know, for such lovely, peaceful, calm individuals, they just make waves wherever they go, it feels like. I think the value in them and what Tiffany and I both seem to have gotten out of it was just like, you know, pause and, oh, wait a second. Let's reassess how we are living life or how we are working and just be open to that. And I love that y'all are thinking about France because I think stories like Christina and Amon's are really powerful because they show you a different way of life. Like, why not Portugal? It forces you to ask that question. Well, why don't I move to France where I would feel more comfortable, especially in the time of COVID when it makes even less sense that I live where I do now with these high ass taxes. There's no school and like it's very expensive. And I'm like, well, why do I live here? Oh, because it's, you know, a good commute to work. The way that we have just like we have all just built our lives around, you know, this way of life, this 9 to 5 or, you know, wherever your business is based. And it's a really good inflection point. And I'm happy to hear that. You know, the show is helping you get there and also stories like Christina and Amon's. But I get it. I can kind of understand what it's like to be, you know, you're at so many layers of other that people sometimes don't know what to do with you. Like, oh, which box do I put you in? Like, oh, 75 different boxes. I cannot compute. Error. And it's not fair, but it's good for y'all to, you know, speak out and remind folks that, you know, not everyone is, you know, there are these others, you know, types out there and y'all are just as valid and your concerns are just as valid as everyone else.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for sending that message, Anonymous. All right. Well, let's back to our regularly scheduled programming. Let's get to a question. This one's a good one. This comes from a listener who was recently furloughed and has a question about her credit debt. All right. If I can get my screenshot back. All right. Hey, ladies, she says, I'd like to be called Raven. And the baby's eating. So, you know, it's dinner time here. See all my hair a little Rio magic in the background. All right, Raven says, hey, ladies, I am here repping the Dream Catchers. I desperately need advice because I want to make the right steps in securing my future. And it's my first week back to work after being furloughed. Okay, so she's been furloughed for several months. She's been able to save a lot because she cut out a lot of unnecessary bills and no longer has a car payment. I'm living on my noodle budget, she says. Shout out to Tiffany. My main bills are my rent, insurance, and internet, so about $1,400. During my time off from work, I've started working on my own business. Okay, so while she was furloughed, she started to think about ways to invest in her own business, and she's wanting to invest about $3,000 $1,000 into herself, which she says, I feel I can save up for, as I usually can save about $500 every other paycheck. However, my biggest concern, she says, is about the last of my credit card debt, which is $6,600. Right now, this card she's using has a 0% interest rate, but the promotion will be ending in September. And the credit card issuer said that the interest rate could go as high as 30%. My credit score is 780. Okay. She says, what should I do? Should I take the money out of my savings and just pay the card off? But that concerns me since I'm more than likely going to be placed on furlough again in November until January. Okay. So let's unpack this. So she's got $6,600 of credit card debt on a 0% interest card. So it sounds like she got a great promotional credit card offer. That's nice. She's been saving on the side. She's got like $16,000 in the bank. She's probably whittled that down a little bit since she was furloughed, but she's got some savings. September is coming, right? It's soon upon us. Her interest rate promotion is going to be ending. It could go up to 30%, but she's got pretty decent credit. What are you thinking, Tiffany?
Well, first I'm like, yikes. So this is, I'm glad Raven, hey girl, DC. But I'm glad that this is such a great question because, well, Raven, you're in a great position because first thing I would do is fly to magnifymoney.com.
Don't walk, and don't run, fly.
Yes, fly and find myself a balance transfer card because you're in a great position, Raven, because you have excellent credit. I can't promise that whatever your balance transfer card is going to be, it's going to take the full $6,600, but see how much you're able to get. And because I quite honestly might go for two of them because up to 30%, and that's compounding. So if, for those of you, what I mean is this is that, let's just say, for the sake of argument, Raven owed a dollar. And they were like, oh, you didn't pay off this dollar. Your promotion ends. You're going to have to pay 30 cents on that dollar in fees. That's $1.30. And then what compounding means is that if she doesn't pay off that $1.30 by the next month, she's paying an additional 30% on not just the dollar again, but the full $1.30.
Yeah.
And so every month, it just, I mean, this, I'm making it really simple, obviously, but every month, it's going to, you're going to be paying not just interest on the principal, the original dollar, but interest on the interest and interest on the interest, interest and interest on the interest, interest. Like, do you see? Like,
yeah.
So it's not 5%. It's not 6%, potentially 30%. That's egregious. So I would literally fly to Magnify, M-A-G-N-I-F-Y, magnifymoney.com. And we're not just shouting it out because that's where Mandy works. Well, kind of, because
back in the day,
bought by LendingTree, right? But still, it's still one of my favorite go-to sites. Magnifymoney.com. Look for a balance transfer card, maybe two, if the first one doesn't fully take on the $6,600. Because normally, if you weren't, to me, if Raven, you weren't subject to furlough in a month or so, I might just say, girl, take that $6,000 off from your $1,600 and pay it off. Normally, that's not what I would say, but because of the potential high interest, that's what, you know, I would have said that if we weren't in, you know, quarantine and pandemic and all that kind of stuff now, because you're right, I need you to hold on to your savings. But that's what I would do. I would get one or two balance transfer cards to transfer that balance so you can pay it down slowly without having to tap into your savings, which you're going to need because you know you're going to be furloughed soon. So that's what I would do.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, your credit score right now is an asset. And this is, we talk about credit scores a lot. People are obsessed with their credit score. And I think you, it's the kind of asset you kind of want to have in your back pocket when times can be tough like this, because it gives you access to affordable debt. And in your case, with a 780 credit score, it's likely, you know, we can't say for sure, but it's likely you could qualify for another credit card offer that's as good as this one, 0% for a promotional period. So yeah, you can start there. I was wondering though, you know, because she's good at saving, obviously. She's got really good financial habits. She's trying to go in the next year, because she's obviously in this career path where she's being furloughed. She says, again, she'll be furloughed this fall. She's already been furloughed once through the pandemic, and she's wanting to pivot away from this career and start her own business. Like, what if she ends up in the same predicament again? So, like, let's say she gets another 12-month APR you know, for 0% interest, and it's next year. And things have been a little bit rocky. She's been furloughed. And, like, I'm just, I almost wonder, like, what's the case for talking about, like, a debt consolidation loan through a credit union at a super low rate? Because, and this is just me presenting another option. I'm not saying it's a better option. I mean, you do it ultimately what you want to do. Raven, I forgot your code name, Raven. But like with a debt consolidation loan with your excellent credit, you know, you can probably get, you know, rates are really, really low right now. Go to a credit union, see if they can give you a personal loan for the amount that you want to pay off your credit card. And that gives you, that's a one-time loan. It's a fixed payment. You know how much you're going to pay each month, and you know when the loan's going to be paid off. And yes, you pay a little bit of interest, but you don't have to worry about it ever expiring and getting hit with, like, the thing about these 0% APR offers is sometimes they even have a deferred interest clause, which isn't just like, oh, your interest rate's going to go up, you know, when this promo period's over. It's also, oh, we're going to go back to the very beginning and pretend like you were paying interest the entire time and just smack all that interest onto your balance. And then, like Tiffany was saying, then compounding interest takes over and then you're just like seriously screwed.
Yes.
So I would consider as a second option, you know your financial picture better than anyone. You know about your job and your ability to get this business off the ground. But that's another option you might want to look into is,
Yeah, that's a great one too.
That consolidation.
To Mandy's point. So you have two. So I know you're right, Mandy. Some people are just totally obsessed with their credit. And I'm always like, once you have a 750, you can calm down, Susan.
Yeah, but there's that, because that 850 is like elusive.
I know, so but I'm like, nobody, it doesn't matter. I tell people, like, it's a range, literally 750 to 850. It's considered A+. Like, we're both going to Harvard, boo. I will see you with my 750. So that's why. So I'm glad, Raven, that you've been able to maintain a high credit score, because now you have two great options. You might do a mix and match. You might do like, hey, let me see, because they don't tell you the balance transfer card people that you choose. Like I said, if you go to Magnify Money, they won't tell you how much until it kind of goes through. So let's just say of the 6,600, they say, hey, you know, you're approved for 4,000. And then you might get, as Mandy mentioned, you might go to a credit union and get the rest. So you can mix and match. You can do one or the other. But because of your good credit, you have options, which is really good.
Exactly. Options and freedom to choose. So take advantage of that. All right. Can we take one more question? You got time?
Of course.
Of always. All right. Of always. What am I saying? Oh, Lord. Tiffany and I are both like sweating in our with no AC on. Just losing our minds. All right. Here's a question from a listener called Eve. All right. Eve says, hi, ladies. I want to start investing in stocks. Is there an app you guys can recommend for beginners? I've tried Acorns and didn't like it too much. I'm currently looking into Robinhood and Stash, but I'm not sure which would be better for beginners. This is a hot question. Everyone with all their free time right now is trying to get into stock investing, which is like good and bad.
Yes.
Good, because it's exciting to grow your wealth, and you know, we're all about that. But yeah, these are very common apps. So Tiffany, you're a fan of Acorns. I think you also use Robinhood. I've used Robinhood. I've never used Acorns or Stash, but yeah, what are your opinions? Because all we can share is our opinions, really, on what we like best.
I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. Like I like to use Robinhood for what I call fun investing. Mm-hmm. That's when I'm like, oh, you know, I heard of a hot stock or whatever. Let me do some more research on it, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to buy a few of it. I'm not like, I don't use Robinhood for like hardcore, like, you know, investing. Not to say that you can't. I'm just saying how I use it.
What
I just use
hardcore? It. Do you mean like long term?
Yeah, I mean, like, even though I'm not really big on selling, but meaning like I use Robinhood to kind of test out my theory. I'm like, huh, I wonder how much, let me see, let me get the stock at this price. But then I use, what am I using for like the long term? Oh, what was that site? I feel like it starts with the E. It's a brokerage account that I actually use for like if I'm going to do like bigger stock purchases.
E-Trade?
Because, E-Trade.
Oh, okay,
So E-Trade. I just use that for like, you know, like more of a like an in-depth, like, because I like, I'll use their tools. I use to learn more. I'm like, you know, really like more invested. And I haven't used them in a while because I have a financial advisor, a financial planner now, but who does those things for me. But that's what I was using it for back then. But I've since rolled over my E-Trade account money, but I still maintain my Robinhood. So even though I have a financial planner, whenever I hear about a stock or I'm interested or I'm whatever, I kind of give myself like a few hundred dollars to to purchase things when if it seems to make sense for me. So, I mean, I'm probably not the best person because I'm not super heavy into stock investing, but I do like Robinhood, at least to start.
Well, yeah, and here's what I'll ask, Eve, is when you talk about you want to get into stocks, and I was just talking to my husband about this because I have to remind him all the time, like, baby, we are investing in stocks. We have index funds. We're investing in hundreds of stocks. But it doesn't feel like there's this idea of like trading stocks and investing that kind of intimidates people because they think they need to understand company financials and they need to watch CNBC and, you know, and read Barron's and all this kind of thing to invest. I think if you ask yourself first and foremost, you know, what are your goals when you're talking about you want to start investing in stocks? Is it like Tiffany said, you know, you want to just see what can happen with a few extra $100, you know, if you invest in a little bit here, a little bit there, and you just want to like test things out? I would say Robinhood's a great tool because it's a really easy to use interface. I'm a fan of Robinhood. It's commission free, so you don't get charged. A lot of places because of Robinhood now offer commission free trades because it's just fairly competitive. And how can you beat it, right? So that's what makes it an attractive kind of app for beginners. It's an easy interface. You transfer money and then you can, you know, buy your stocks right then and there. I think they even offer not just, they used to just do individual stocks, but I think now you can actually buy mutual funds and ETFs through the Robinhood app as well, which makes it even more attractive because those types of investments are different than individual stocks. With an ETF or a mutual fund, the beauty in those is that you get exposure to all kinds of stocks all in one little pretty package. And you don't need to, you know, it's more diversified. There's less, you know, it's a little bit less risky because all your eggs aren't in one basket. Robinhood offers that. I, too, use Robinhood just to kind of mess around. But as far as my goals, I mean, my goals are to retire soonish, like in the next couple of decades, which actually doesn't sound that long. Like, kind of freaks me out. What? In 20 years, I'll be done? Like, what? Anyway, so that's my goal. So I've got like 20 to 30 years that I'm trying to save towards. So I have all of my investments outside of my 401k in Vanguard, in index funds. I'm a Vanguard girl. I always have been. Me too. And it's not the sexiest interface. It's not. It's very blah. It kind of feels fuddy-duddy. But Vanguard is like the OG of the everyday investor is how I kind of feel. Like, you know, Jack Bogle invented the index fund and everyone hated him back then. There's a lot of beauty, I think, in the simplicity of the Vanguard experience and for my goals. And you need to ask yourself what your goals are too. For long-term investing, I choose Vanguard. I used to have a target date fund through them, but I recently ditched it. And I selected index funds on my own because I knew a little bit more. Target date funds are really great for a beginning investor because they take all the guesswork out of it. You just decide, okay, around what year do I want to invest? And then you select the target date fund that matches that year. And they automatically rebalance your portfolio for you. The older you get, it gets more conservative. So you're not exposing yourself to so much risk. It's all very cool. But they, you know, the cost of the target date fund is super low too, which makes it attractive. But once I learned more about which index funds to choose, I could save even more and get an even lower cost by picking them myself. But for the first, like, I don't know, how old was I when I opened my first 401k, 24, 23. So like maybe the first 6 years I was rocking with the target date fund. And listen, I killed it. I was so lucky to get to invest during the last recession when the market was so bad because everything was basically on sale. And the money that I put in there has just grown and grown and grown for the last, you know, decade really. And a target date fund served me very well. But when I was ready to do more, Vanguard was pretty easy. So that's what I use. And, you know, E-Trade also is there. I think E-Trade, they offer some commission-free trading as well. I've heard good things about Stash, too.
Yes, I have, too.
I think what's beautiful is that there's all these options now. So, you know, do your homework, do your Googles, and, you know, pick the one that you think is great, but pay attention to fees. Like, what are they going to, if you are thinking about trading a lot, what are the fees to trade? You really want to find a place that's commission free because every time if you're trying to trade stocks regularly, that's going to eat into your returns and, you know, it's not good for what you want. So you want really low cost, you know, make sure that the interface is easy for you to understand and make sure that they offer what it is that you want to invest in because they don't all offer, you know, exposure to the right, you know, maybe the index fund that you want or the company that you're looking to invest in or the ETF or whatever. So, you know, that's all I can say there.
So question, I know you're a financial, was she a financial planner, a financial advisor? Do you still work with Helen? We had her on the show before.
I love Helen. You know, I only got two birthday cards on my actual birthday, one from my daddy and one from Helen, my financial planner. Love her. No, we last talked with Helen right before we had the baby. So Helen's kind of our life stages financial planner. So we talked to her before we got married. We talked to her before we got our house. We talked to her before we had the baby to kind of like get ducks in a row. But she doesn't manage any investments for us. And she's a fee-only planner, which is why I love Helen. It means it's kind of like going for your annual checkup. I can book an appointment with her and I pay a flat fee. And, you know, and then Helen continues to kind of check in on us, but there's no pressure to continue working with her and all that. But yeah, we still work with Helen.
What do we? No, I just asked because my, one of my mentees was asking, they were going to work with a planner. And when I tell you the egregiousness of what the planner was telling that he was going to charge,
oh Lord,
I was like, girl, first of all, 1.5% of, and then also $5,000 a year. I'm not saying,
what?
Okay.
You know, is that legal?
I was like, is that even? No. I think it was like one or the other, but honestly, altogether, I was just telling her like, no, that I was going to, like, there were three planners that I knew that I really liked. I have my planner, Angelique, who I love. I also love Helen. I thought that she was awesome. And then there was another woman named Amy Irving that I had interviewed when I was looking for a planner. Remember I interviewed like 20 planners.
Right.
And so I told her that I was going to, you know, that you should always interview more than one, that I was going to send her those three women. So I just was wondering, I couldn't remember if Helen was, you know, in what capacity you could work with her. So that's good to know. So I'm going to just send her over. Because I was like, girl, run, you know, like, run.
Yeah. What I love about Helen is that she's really been there through every stage of our financial lives. You know, we started working with her when we were about to get married, and then we worked with her closely when we were planning to get the house. And then we talked to her a lot before we had the baby, just trying to get our finances in order. And she's very, very transparent. Her company is Capital Benchmark Partners. But I think I found her through XY Planning, which is an online network of fee-only financial planners. So the key really is, you know, find your own Helen. I maybe called three different planners and interviewed them before I settled on the one that I, you know, thought was the best fit for me. And I really recommend that.
Mm-hmm. And I found, I'd interviewed Helen. I loved her as well. I think Helen might have been the one, because I had a lot going on. I think Helen might have been the one who actually suggested Angelique. Three of the financial planners that I actually interviewed suggested Angelique. They're like, because I created this whole, like, Tiffany's money sheet. It was like six pages of all my money shenanigans. And they were like, yeah, girl, you need a special kind of planner. I suggest Angelique. And when I said three planners suggested her randomly, I was like,
that's
okay.
Very telling.
It is a very good sign. And so because, you guys know I've got like five businesses, and then, you know, my husband works, and it just was, I have some real estate. So it was more than just, it wasn't as cut and dry as maybe my life like 10 years ago. And so as a result of that, you know, they suggested Angelique, and honestly, she's been wonderfully amazing. When I say she has disentangled all of my stuff, and has created a helpful, clear plan to our goals, it just feels amazing. I used to be really afraid of my finances. Despite making good money, I didn't feel secure because I knew that's all I was doing well, was making good money, that I wasn't making, you know, I didn't have a plan in place. And how do I get from here to here? Mandy and I always share how we're so adverse to like debt, but in some ways it was like to my detriment. I was hoarding too much cash, and I knew that. And so, yeah. So finding the right financial planner for you is just, if you need one, because not everyone needs a financial planner, but if you need one, finding the right one for you can really just be a godsend. So shout out to our financial planner. So, that's good to know about Helen, because I'm going to suggest that to my mentee, because I told her, like, Angelique is not cheap, because she typically works with people who are like me that have a lot going on. So you don't want to overdo it unnecessarily with someone maybe like Angelique.
You also really want to ask yourself, you know, what are my goals? Do I really need a financial planner at this stage in my life? Honestly, I think a lot of people, you know, with a little bit of research on your own. There's tons of books out there. There's YouTube channels you can follow. There's podcasts you can listen to. There's tons of articles. You know, that's what my whole team at LendingTree is always working on. There's a lot of free information that can help you, you know, reach some basic milestones, become debt free, you know, learn how to tackle your 401k, you know, learn how to save for a goal. Mm-hmm. I don't know that those are necessarily the types of things that make sense to hire a financial planner to help with, unless you're truly, truly, you know, just cannot handle it and you really need that coach. But even then, I would say a financial planner isn't just someone you come to and they're entirely hands off. Like, you should come to the table with your own, you know, your own knowledge of some aspects of, you know, financial success yourself so that you can ask good questions and you can also call them out on their BS when you need to.
Exactly. No, totally.
All right. Well, it's that time of the show again. Should we boost or break?
Yes. Yeah, someone told me that this was their fave, the boosty breaky. Mm-hmm.
I mean, should we put it on a t-shirt? What do you think? Should. It can say boost on the front and break on the back.
Oh, yes.
We are working on some merch. And we really need y'all ideas. You should let us know if you have any ideas for our swag.
Yeah. And also, are there like, we definitely need to put hey, 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 like on a mug or something.
Okay.
So like, what would be your favorite?
We're not going to get sued, are we?
No, I mean, it's not because I mean, who can't say hey?
True.
So maybe we should definitely have We're Back, We're Black, We're Brown Ambition. I love that.
Okay, great.
But if you guys have, if there's like some phrases that, you know, me and Mandra use all the time, then there's like, remember that?
Ooh, like hashtag Team Tiffany, hashtag Team Mandra.
Right? Or get you a friend. What was that one? It was like, get you a friend like Mandra.
Get you a friend like Mandra, yeah.
Yes. That would be.
Would you guys wear that on a t-shirt? Okay. Also, shout out, but shade out to the person who told me they'd never met a Black Mandy before. Nice to meet you. Let me be the first and best Black Mandy you've ever met in your life.
Well, Tiffany's not a super Black Mandy.
All right, fair enough.
Then again, I picked it. But anyway, so yeah, if you kind of like message us some like, you know, Brown Ambition phrases that we use that you would love to see on some merch, we would love that.
Love it.
Love it. And maybe if we choose, like, you know, maybe we'll do some sort of contest or something like that. Like if there's like a phrase that we really love, I mean, aside from the obvious, which we've just said, but a phrase we really love, maybe we'll send you some free merch when it comes out.
Yeah. brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Love a contest. All right. You going to boost or break, girlfriend?
I want to boosty a Sandy Smith and the Elevate Conference.
Oh, I love Sandy.
So Sandy, we haven't had her on our podcast, but we keep talking about her. So Sandy's just awesome. I mean, she's one of the OGs in the Brown personal finance space. But Sandy started this conference. So you guys kind of know the debacle, for those of you who've been listening for a while, with the financial conference that we shall not name. But it was not exactly super friendly to other, so Brown, LGBTQ, like just, you know, it just wasn't, at least maybe on the surface, it looked to be, but when you dove deeper, not so much. So there was a lot of shakeup with that other conference, this year as a result. And Sandy last year, I think it was either last year or year before last, she had her first conference, called the Elevate Conference, which is inclusive. But like deeply inclusive of other, but it's especially for Black and Brown folks. And so I did a keynote at Elevate last year. We actually have an Elevate Facebook group. Whenever I'm looking for resources and things for my dream catchers, I literally call them the Browns, even though everyone in there is not like traditionally Brown, because we've got like Asian folks in there. And, you know, basically it's just a safe haven for anyone who is other in personal finance, and just an amazing resource. Just an awesome community. And so Sandy had her first in-person conference last year. She was supposed to have one this year. And I remember in the beginning of the year, because of COVID, she was freaked out because she had already planned the conference. And now it was supposed to be, I think, in March, and it couldn't happen. It was all this money on the line. And it just seemed like it wasn't looking good. She wasn't able to get all her deposits and things back. But Sandy pivoted. I mean, she put the P in pivot. And took her conference online. And after the other conference kind of like imploded, at least temporarily, so I'm sure they'll be back, imploded, people started to look for, where are safe spaces for other
to congregate. And so all of a sudden she got sponsorship she wasn't getting before, all the support. I mean, us Browns, we've been new, Sandy. But I just want to congratulate her because the Elevate Conference just went, was just last week, and it was amazing. When I tell you she did such a good job, I helped to do the opening chat, the opening talk for the conference, of why a conference like this was so important. And I just basically said that, you know, what I said earlier, that there has to be other voices because there are different types of people who need to see themselves in the resources being presented. And everything is not black or white, that most of us live somewhere in the gray. And just so, I'm just so proud of Sandy because it's been, when I tell you she did so much of it by herself, I was like, Sandy, who edited these videos? She's like, I did. I'm like, Sandy, who did this? I did. But Sandy, who did that? I did. I'm like, what? She is a jack of all trades and a master of all. You know, it's usually like a master of none. So yeah, that was just my boost. I just want to say, Sandy Smith, I am so proud of you, girl. I cannot wait for the Elevate Conference next year, which is tentatively scheduled to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if you know about Tulsa and Black Wall Street.
Oh, Tulsa.
I know. So Black Wall Street, do your Googles. That's hugely historic to be able to do it there. And so, yeah, that was it. I just wanted to just give her a huge, huge virtual hug and shout out. And she's just doing the amazing work of providing platforms for people like me and Mandy and othered folks to be seen, heard, and understood and shared.
Love Sandy so much. And, you know, earlier when you were talking about Cece, it reminded me of Sandy because I feel like they had that same ethos. It's all about uplifting and supporting women and being transparent, and love you, Sandy. And we will have her on the show, I feel like, in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned. We finally got her. All right. That's great. All right. My turn. So I wasn't sure what to do this week. I have so much to do, so much to say, but I would really like to make this week's break. Sorry to be a little negative. It's going to be good. I am ready to take a break from Forex trading, okay? This has been one of the most popular questions we have gotten, and I feel like anyone in the personal finance education space has probably gotten from folks through their email or DMs or whatever. It's, what is Forex trading? Do you have any tips? Is it legitimate? And I just think we need to talk about it, you know? Forex trading is not something that I personally participate in, nor does Tiffany, but I think since so many of you guys are curious about it, and you very well are probably seeing the same ads and the same, you know, YouTubers and the same folks on your social media or your uncle, you know, texting you like mine has, you know, talking about Forex trading, and it's time for us to talk about
it. Yes, I have seen them. Yep. And the bots, the Forex bots I've been seeing.
Yes, and the bots. Okay, so let's break it down. Forex trading has, I don't know, it's developed this air, this mystique about it where people think, well, they're kind of like afraid of it, almost like it's a scam or something, like a get rich quick scam or like a multi-level marketing company, you know, that's where you recruit someone to sell something and then, you know, they make money by recruiting someone or whatever. But here's the truth. Forex trading is a very legitimate form of trading. It is, in fact, a huge, huge market. I mean, trillions of dollars pass daily through the Forex trading market. So as you guys are probably familiar with, there is, for example, the New York Stock Exchange, and that is where you trade stocks. You trade shares in companies. So you might buy 10 shares of Apple today, and your hope is that when you sell those 10 shares of Apple, that it was worth more when you sold it than it was when you bought it, right? So the Forex market or foreign exchange trading, this is where you're trading something different. You're actually trading national currencies. So you're trading a US dollar for a British pound, or you're trading a British pound for a Japanese yen, or whatnot. And it's very similar. You hope that when you buy the other currency, the foreign currency, that when you exchange it for a different currency, that that will actually be worth more than what you paid for initially. And that is how you make money in Forex trading. That's a super duper simplified. Here's the thing. Forex trading sometimes there's just like this huge surge in interest for it. I actually went to Google search trends and I was like, let me see, have people been searching more for Forex trading? Let me see what the trends have been like. Guess when there was an uptick in search volume around Forex trading? Around April 2020. I wonder why. It was right when the pandemic truly hit. Most states were shut down, if not shut down entirely, shut down partially, and millions of people, tens of millions of people, were furloughed or lost their jobs. Okay, I decided to go back a little bit further, and I was like, when was the last big surge in interest in Forex trading? What do y'all think?
I was going to say 2008, 2009.
Exactly. As you say, it was back in 2008, November 2008. When did Lehman crash? Like October, September of that year? At any rate, interest in Forex trading tends to surge, as we've seen from the past two economic crises, 2008, and then you cut to now, 2020, with what's happening with COVID. There's all this interest in Forex trading because there are a lot of people out there who have packaged it into this sort of get-rich-quick, I don't want to call it a scheme because, as I've said, it's a legitimate form of trading. But it's that people have taken advantage of the interest in this type of trading and the fact that you can, you know, you can trade 24 hours a day depending on which market you use, because they're all over the world, right? You could be trading on London hours or, you know, Japan or Tokyo hours or, you know, Sydney hours, whatever. Yes, there's a lot of opportunity to make money, but it's a very complex form of trading. And, you know, you really have to get educated and understand it. And this is where opportunistic people have taken advantage of the mystique about Forex trading because they sell courses and how to do it and they sell us information. And honestly, yes, maybe the information is useful. Maybe they do an okay job of explaining what Forex trading is and how it works. But if you think that you can immediately become an expert in this form of very risky investing, and it's risky because, you know, it's as risky as you want it to be. It's depending on how much money you're willing to put into it. But if you just lost your job or you're financially insecure, you've got debt or whatnot, this probably is not the best place for you to, you know, get your financial, get your financial safety net put back together. This is my personal opinion. I'm sure there very well are people who are, you know, making tons of money in the Forex trading, market and all that. And that's very great for them. But I mean, you should look at it with like several hundred grains of salt and definitely think twice before you pay someone money to teach you about Forex trading and ask yourself, you know, what are you expecting to get out of it? Because, you know, I could offer a course myself in stock trading today, but you're your own person. And there's so much more than just understanding how it works that goes into it. You also need the time. Like, do you have the time to sit at your terminal, at your computer all day, you know, look at the price graphs and, you know, really understand what they mean and when the opportunities are to strike and all that? I mean, it takes a lot of mental bandwidth. And it makes me sad because I think a lot of people who are being drawn toward this form of investing, you know, are more vulnerable. Like, you have more to lose. I just wanted to, you know, look at the elephant in the room because everyone's talking about it. So let's just recap. Yeah, Forex trading is legit. It's not probably the best way to invest, especially dollars that you are very afraid to lose because they're all you have left if you've really been struggling, you know, in this current COVID crisis. So just think about it. And if you guys have more specific questions, you know, let me know. There's some really, you know, there is some good helpful information out there if you want to learn more about Forex trading. We'll share some links to Investopedia, Investopedia's explainer, you know, in our show notes. They're a trusted source. And just you can start to educate yourself, but always do your own due diligence and really try to avoid any kind of investing strategy or investing, you know, hot new trend, because that usually, it usually doesn't bode very well.
No, I agree. Because people ask me all the time about Forex and I'm like, well, at its core, it's not a scam, but many things surrounding like how to learn how to Forex trade. Unfortunately, there are so many scams surrounding it, just like with anything. Just being mindful and doing your homework and doing your due diligence in that. Quite honestly, I know it sounds like so cliche, but if something seems to be too good to be true, especially when it comes to your money, it is. Like, not when it comes to cake necessarily, or cookies, or like, you know, your favorite dish. Like, ooh, this looks too good to be true. No, eat it. But when it comes to money, if it seems too good to be true, 99.9999999999% of the time, it
like
is.
Like always.
Because if it was that easy, wouldn't we all be rich? Like, mm-hmm. ask yourself that. How is it that this person that you're meeting has cracked the code on how to become rich in 2 weeks and no one knows? I mean, yeah, they haven't. They've just cracked the code and taking money. So, whew. This has been an episode, child. Thanks, as usual, Mandra.
Megasode.
Yeah, a megasode.
All right. Well, we hope that y'all, you know, have enjoyed this ride with us. Thanks for rocking with us. Don't forget to leave us a review, yep. please, for iTunes. And did we even mention your reviews? You know, getting us past 1,000 reviews was one of the reasons we were selected as the top personal finance yes. podcast by Business Insider. Which is a very surreal moment for me because I used to work at Business Insider. In fact,
yes.
that's where I got my start as a personal finance editor and reporter. I launched there. I was one of the first, I'll call myself a founding editor of their personal finance section. So it's crazy
yes.
nearly 10 years
you know,
later.
When you call me, it still says Mandy Business Insider. That's what it says on my phone.
That's when we met. Mm-hmm. Yes. Tiffany was just a baby budgetista with an article on her blog about a bike that her daddy bought her.
Yes.
And I was looking for a story to write. And then here we are.
Yes.
All these years later. Well, it's because of you guys. So please, if you haven't left us a comment or sorry, left us a review on iTunes, please do so. Mm-hmm. 5 stars would be excellent. And then tell a friend about the show. Thank y'all for helping to elevate the show. I feel like we have such a bigger audience even now than we did pre-COVID. And that's, you know, just a testament to really you guys mm-hmm. for spreading the word. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-mm. And maybe next week I will finally talk about my mortgage refinance, which just finished finally, and how I have banned meetings from my life and
ooh,
how I feel so much better.
Yes, let's definitely talk about mortgage refinance because you know they're the Freddie Mac and Sally Mae are trying to add a half percentage.
Sally Mae?
Not Sally Mae. Freddie Mac.
The other
and,
one.
Yes.
Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae. I said Sally Mae. Oh, my God. It's been a, you know what? Bye.
Listen, all those Mays. Who comes up with these names anyway? I mean, come on.
It sounds like somebody's southern uncle. Freddie Mac and Sally Mae and Fannie Mae. Mm-hmm. Like, who are these people? But yeah. All right.
All right. We'll have a good rest of your week. Jeff.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.